Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
I was at the mall a while ago. Actually, this happened a few times at the mall, where I look around and I see people walking through the mall, and here we are in the Western world where, generally speaking, things are pretty good. Like, that's a nice mall. A lot of stuff we have going for us. We live in one of the more affluent areas, well, compared to the rest of the world, extremely affluent. And you walk through the mall and you see people walking through busy, not a lot of smiling going on. I don't know if you ever noticed that. People don't seem that happy. There's the odd, every once in a while you see, you know, younger people goofing off, and there's a little bit of a spark there, but generally speaking, everyone's kind of in a rush or going from buying this to buying that, and this hits me every once in a while. I think, like, what's all this for? You know, there's a sense that you go from work to the gym, if you're disciplined, to listening to podcasts on the way there and back, and you go home, binge some Netflix, and that seems about it, unless you have kids, and then you're driving around the whole time taking them to hockey and piano lessons and pestering them about their homework and tutoring and raising your kids to go to work every day and then go to the gym and listen to podcasts on the way back and forth and binge Netflix when you get home. And then maybe once in a year you get to go on vacation to catch up from all that busyness, and that's it. And then what? Then one day you retire for what? I was listening to an interview with somebody who's interviewing Dave Ramsey. He's that American financial guru. And he says, a lot of people in North America, this is a paraphrase, we've invested so much into our children's activities at the expense of investing into their character. And I see that so often. Parents are busy all the time, busy with their kids, just activity, 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 activity. And our kids are stressing out. And I wonder, is that life, or does life happen in between that? Like, is that the sum of our existence, or is that a means to an end so that somehow life happens in between or after that? I'm not sure what the answer is to that, but there is to that question, but there is an answer about how we approach it. Now, we're in a series on the book of Proverbs throughout the summer, and it's about living skillfully. Wisdom is being able to apply knowledge and to do all of life with skill. And so we've been doing one proverb per week. Today we're going to be looking at Proverbs 30, verse 5, which may not at first seem like an answer to this question, but we'll unpack that. And we do have message notes on crosslands.live. If you go to that on your smart device and you go to Sunday message, there's application questions. How do I apply this? How do I unpack it further with questions, say, from Monday to Saturday? How do I live this out? And this is great to do, you know, over dinner with your family or in a small group setting. You can do it by yourself as well. But it's just a resource we offer to you. And then at the end, if we have time, which we might not, we'll entertain text messages. If we don't have time, you can text me anyway. I want to start by reading this proverb. Today we're looking at Proverbs 30, verse 5, and it says this. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to all who come to him for protection. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who come to him for protection. Now, I want to unpack this like phrase by phrase. So the first one is every word of God. Now, throughout Scripture, that's a huge theme, the word of God. And people, a lot of people in more of our church subculture, they use that as a catchphrase for the Bible. That's how they understand it to mean. Get into the word of God. What do they mean? Read your Bible. And it's almost a narrowing of what that phrase means. Throughout all of the Old Testament, before even all of Scripture was kind of written down as a text, the Word of God would be God's message given to people, not in written down form, but verbally, like through prophets and things like that. And when you get to the New Testament, you see the Word of God being preached orally to people. But the Bible says that the highest message from God, the highest revelation of his intents, his character, his purposes, is wrapped up in Jesus himself. And the Bible attributes to Jesus the title, the Word of God. And he's kind of like, it's not that the other stuff isn't, but Jesus is the best, highest example of that. Now, when you talk to a skeptic would say, and informed by our Western philosophy, says, if God even exists, he would be impossible to know. He'd be unknowable because he would be so far beyond and unchanging and eternal and all that. But the reality is that God reveals himself. That's why there is a message to understand. That's why there is a word of God, because God chooses to reveal himself to us. And the highest revelation of that is Jesus himself, the ultimate revelation. And it's when the Bible attributes that to him, by the time John writes that in his gospel, it's a loaded term, word. It's a word that means everything from rationale to reason to explanation to message, all of that wrapped up in Jesus demonstrates God's intention. So as much as this is this divine message from on high to us living here in Newmarket in 2019, it still applies. In Proverbs 35, it says, every word of God. Now, that word for word, and I'm not saying it word for word, but the word that they use for word is not quite the same thing. It's one that's a lot more rare in the Old Testament. It's not so much a divine message that's transferred from high. It means a conversational, relational transfer. It's related to the phrase face-to-face. And this word that's used here in this proverb here is applied to people like Abraham, who had a face-to-face relationship with God. So it's applied to Moses, who had a face-to-face relationship with God. So it's not like a letter sent or a voicemail. It's a conversational, face-to-face relationship. You ever find prayer difficult? Maybe I'm the only one. Sometimes it feels like a chore. It feels like I just do it as a discipline, and if I or when I forget, then I feel guilt and shame for not doing my duty. Just me? Okay, I'm sorry. You should get a better pastor. Our default for prayer, our default for our interaction with God, turns into something like exchanging our requests for his instructions. Exchanging our requests for his instructions. Not very relational. You can do that by email. That's not what this is talking about. See, when you're in a relationship with something, the communication isn't just information exchange. Again, the skeptic would say, well, does prayer even work? Let's do a study. Well, what do you mean by work? Because I think when people say, does prayer work, what they mean is, do you get what you want? That's not the point of prayer. That's not the point of a face-to-face relationship with somebody. The point of a face-to-face relationship is to interact relationally, to have a relationship with them. And when you have a relationship with anyone, to various degrees, you are transformed. You can have a transactional relationship with the girl at the coffee shop, here's my money, get my coffee. Not a lot going on there. But if you ask her name, how's your day going? If you're actually relationally interacting with somebody, change happens. This happens between any two human beings. How much more than an interaction with another person, than an interaction with the person? And that's the point. Does prayer work? Yes, if you are transformed by an interaction with the God who created you to love you. That makes all the difference in the world. Every word of God proves true. Now, the two words there, proves true, the root of true there comes from like a Hebrew root that means burning. Well, what the heck does that mean? Well, because it comes from a word that would usually be used to refer to metallurgy, how you get metal out of ore. So you heat it up, cool it, heat it up, cool it, and the impurities burn off. And that's a word, it's a concept that was used repeatedly, especially in the Old Testament, in the New as well, when God says he's testing people and refining people. It's not a test, it's not a pass-fail test. It's a refining to purify. Here is one case where the word is not used for that, but it's used for God's words that we experience with God in a face-to-face interaction. They prove true. Instead of God testing us, we get to be on the receiving end of the testing, or we get to be the testers, and God's words prove themselves true over and over and over. It means everything from true to pure to valuable. God allows us to grow in understanding and experiencing his message, where over and over and over and over, his message to us, that relational transformation is increasingly proven true, pure, valuable. It's almost like you would probably have this experience if you're a follower of Jesus for any length of time. you know, we always tell people, with Jesus, you got to go all in. Well, honestly, people don't do that. They put a foot in. Because they don't even know what it means to go all in. But when you put your trust in God, he proved himself true, and then you jump in a little bit further, and you jump a little bit further, and every time he is proven true. It's almost like that this hearing from God is a refining of our listening process by which we experience God's trueness over and over and over. Okay, so God's words to us prove true. He is a shield to all who come to him for protection. A shield is a reliable protection. It's something you get behind when you're in trouble. I was looking up this proverb, and I found this verse in 2 Samuel. So we're in Proverbs. I found this in 2 Samuel. See if it rings. See if something rings out there. 2 Samuel 22:31. It's part of David singing a song to God when he's under threat, and God is rescuing him from his enemies. And he says, God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises, it's actually God's name there, all Yahweh's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection. So when we talked about Proverbs at the beginning, this is a collection of Proverbs, and the guy that wrote this one down, I think he's just stole it from David, okay? David knew this by experience. If he was in good times, if he was in bad times, there's one thing about David, is he lived out his life with passion. Totally lived it out with passion. And how could he do that? Because he found his refuge in God. So when you see people just walking through life and you see their passion just eroded, it's almost like you're just going day to day to day. And, you know, we're beaten down by pressures, by our struggles, by our shame. And it just sucks all the energy and passion out of our life. I was looking at last week, I think it was Claudette that spoke last week. I was looking at your, like, the where do we go from here thoughts. I didn't tell you this. And in the prayer at the end, Claudette had written something like praying that, that we would prioritize our relationship with God in response to a sense of apathy and stagnation. Hey, that's kind of my message today. Where do you seek pressure, or where do you seek shelter from the storms of life? Where do you go? Video games, a particular relationship, appropriate things, inappropriate things. Where do you go? God himself is the shield for those who choose to trust him. I know the feeling of struggles and pressures, they sometimes drive us from God in our feelings of inadequacy. When you feel those feelings of inadequacy and shame, that's the last thing you need to do. You need to run to him, because he will prove to you that that relationship is tried and true for protection when you trust him for refuge. You are defined more by what you passionately pursue than what you diligently do. You are defined more by what you passionately pursue than what you diligently do. In fact, that's very much Jordan's story this morning. And we can have a passion for all kinds of things, but you know what God's passion is? God's passion is for your heart. Above all, for your heart. He longs for your heart. He doesn't long for your money. He doesn't long for your behavior. He doesn't long for your sacrifices or your promises. He wants your heart. It reminds me of a parable that Jesus told in Luke. Luke 6, 46 to 49. He says, "Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I'll show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows that. I'll show you what it's like when someone comes to me." It's like he builds a house, digs deep, and lays a foundation on solid rock. And when storms come, which they inevitably do, the house stands firm because it's well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right in the ground without a foundation, and when the storms come, it collapses the house into a heap of ruins. A storm will come if it's not already there. You will. Something is going to hit your life. Can you stand? Now, Jesus is not talking about, he's not saying, take my advice. Don't use sound wisdom. He's talking about that relational connection with God, who is a shield for those who put their trust in him, for those who take refuge in him. I'd like to give you five easy steps to do this. But you can't. We're talking relationship here. It's not about five steps. You don't build relationships with five easy steps. You passionately pursue and engage. You open your heart. You express your heart. You wait. You listen. See, there's two sides to that. It isn't just about me pouring out my heart to God. It's about me letting him pour his heart out to me. You take the time. I think sometimes in prayer, we deal with the past and the future all the time, and we avoid the now. Spend time now. Just be with God. Let him express his passion for you, because that's the shelter for the storm. You have that, and there's a joy and a peace and a love there that will strengthen you to face any storm that life could possibly hit you. Now, you may be here today, and this sounds intriguing, but you have no idea. Like, how do you even start that? I don't even know what it means to have a relationship with God. Well, that happens, that begins by following Jesus. How do you follow Jesus? How do you follow Jesus with your life? How do you begin to go all in? It's as simple as ABC. A, admit your need for God. You may be saying, you know, I've handled some stuff in life. I've handled a lot of storms, but I don't have that passion. Why am I here? Why am I doing this? Why am I struggling to work for a boss I hate just for money so that I can live with people I hate and all of that? There is life way beyond that. God has that for you. You have to come to the realization that that possibility is there for you. And B is believe it. And believe just doesn't mean assent to some kind of opinion. Believe means take a step of trust. I trust that God has that for me. The whole story of Jesus' death and resurrection is the means, the path by which relationship with God is available to us. And then C is commit. You can't live the old life and the new life at the same time. Okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to start this. I'm going to allow God to speak to me. I'm going to allow myself to be transformed by that relationship with him. If you don't have a Bible, grab a Bible and just start reading it. If you don't have one at all, we have some available at the information desk that are really accessible. Be part of a Bible-believing community like here at Crossness Church. There are others in Newmarket as well. Begin that journey. And if this is something that a decision you want to make today, you need to walk with other people. And so if you connect on crossens.live, there's a box that says follow Jesus. Give us your contact info and we'll help you with that journey. This is something that it's the best decision you'll ever make. And I believe most people here would assent to that. This is what gives you the passion, the purpose, the meaning. It makes life worth living. Living life, not working for God, but with the spiritual, heavenly creator Father who made us to love us. I'm going to ask you to stand as we close the service. We have at least one text message, but we're over time already. So I want to pray for you before we completely finish. I want to ask you this. What do you passionately long for? What do you passionately long for? Sometimes there are things that we think we long for that are, they're kind of smoke screens for something that lies underneath. But I believe that at the heart of every single one of us is a longing to reconnect with our Creator. The Bible says deep calls to deep, which is a phrase it's kind of metaphorical about the depth in our heart that longs for the depth of eternity, the eternal love that God has for us. What do you passionately long for? Don't let the world wear you down. Your relational connection, more than diligent and devotional connection. Yes, investing in relationship can require effort and consistency, but it's about the relationship. It's not about a duty. Let God be the Father who loves you. Let him love you. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you that you have called each one of us, that there isn't a single one here that you don't love completely, that we don't need to jump through hoops to earn your love. You just love us. And Father, yeah, we can all be better. We deal with struggles and issues. But Father, I pray that you would open our eyes to see that it's not through the jumping through hoops that happens, but it's through relationship with you that it happens. I pray that as much as you are passionately wanting to know us, that we would passionately want to know you. And through that, we would be transformed. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.